when you're at home. Don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair on your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
What's up, everybody? It is Black and Abdallah. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And Instagram and Snapchat. I think I have Snapchat. I don't remember. I do have Snapchat. I don't ever use it, but I definitely have Snapchat. Chris Bleck has the week off. So you get solo Abdallah for the next few days. I hope you like it. Some people do. Some people might not. So yesterday, the NFL playoffs, the divisional round, amazing, amazing football. Some say, the greatest four games of football ever played. Like, if they were to put those four games into a time capsule, save it for 100 years from when the NFL turns 200, and then they'll just show these games, because there's no going up from this. Like, it's only downhill. There is no way that the championship games on Sunday will compare. And you know now, because we had like the greatest game ever in the playoffs between the Chiefs and the Bills, that the Super Bowl is going to be like 6-3. Like, it's going to be an old school SEC matchup. It's going to be 6-3, and no one's going to like it. But we watched yesterday's games. Everybody watched the games. You all enjoyed the games. And I always like to look at these games from a perspective of the Bears, right? Like, you look at Patrick Mahomes and you wonder what could have been if the Bears had drafted him. You know, Mitchell Trubisky sitting on the sideline watching these games along with the Bills, as they weren't able to, you know, do anything in overtime because the Mahomes and the Chiefs won the toss, and that was kind of it. But I like to look at it from a different perspective, right? From looking at it from the Bears' perspective and what this means for the Bears. Like, the games were great, awesome. You want to call up 312-332-3776. You want to complain about the overtime rules, that's fine. You want to, you know, talk about how great everything, how you like the overtime rules, that's fine too. That's up to you. But I like to look at it as if we're in a different universe, right? Well, let's say we're looking at a different universe here. Like, let's say we go to this alternate universe right now where the Bears are in the process of trying to hire their next GM and their next head coach. And today they completed interviews with Omar Khan and Morocco Brown. So it seems like if you're looking at the list right now, that except for Rick Smith, which is still TBA, that the interviews, you would think, are essentially over for the Bears, for GM head candidates. And if you're looking at it, the opposite side of the coaches, it seems like they have their three finalists in Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts. You've got Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell, right? So if you look at those candidates, and let's just say, again, alternate universe, alternate reality, not this timeline, different timeline altogether. You look at this, and you say, let's say the Bears get it right, right? Let's say the Bears get it right. Again, alternate universe, alternate reality, alternate timeline. I don't believe they're going to get it right if those three guys are the finalists. I would like Brian Flores. I would like Brian Daboll, one of those two. That's my 1A, 1B. But let's say they hire Dan Quinn. Let's say they hire Jim Caldwell. Let's say they hire Eberflus, right? Fine. Let's say it doesn't wow you. Let's say it works out. Play along. Again, alternate universe, alternate world. How far away are the Bears from playing in a divisional game? You have to get through the wild card spot, or you have to have the number one seed in the NFC. So you look at this, the Bears have not won a playoff game since beating the Seahawks in 2010. How far away are the Bears. I believe they have their quarterback. I believe that Justin Fields is going to be better in a different system other than Matt Nagy's, because we've learned that Matt Nagy's system was awful. I think they'll add to the offensive line. I think they'll add some weapons. Obviously, you have to make up for Allen Robinson being gone. You have to make up for all this other stuff. So you have to add weapons to this team. I think the defense is okay. They finished in the top 15 in DVOA this year. So I'm wondering, 312-332-3776. How far away are the Bears from competing in the divisional round? That means winning a playoff game or being the number one seed. I think it's more likely that they win a playoff game before they're the number one seed. So how many years? One, is it next year? Is it 2 years from now after, you know, Justin Fields has a year in someone's system? Is it 3 years? Is it not with this next coaching staff? Does this next coaching staff of Jim Caldwell come in, or Dan Quinn, or Matt Eberflus, or whoever comes in, and it just doesn't work? Is it 5 years from now? Is it 6 years from now? Because you have to factor everything in. Aaron Rodgers might be leaving the NFC, or at least the NFC North. He could be staying in the NFC, but he might be leaving the NFC North, meaning it could be easier for you to win the division and get a spot in the playoffs. You might get a wild card spot. Who knows? You've got wild card teams that win games all the time. How many years, how far away are the Bears from competing in the divisional round? That means winning a playoff game. How far away are the Bears from winning a playoff game? 312-332-3776. We'll go to Gary on the north side. What's up, Gary? How are you?
What's up, Adam? Peace, brother. You know, my question for you, man, actually plays right into your question. Well, first, I am over here reveling in that Packers loss and them getting bounced. And to quote the late, great Tony Stark, who doesn't like revels? Now, my question to you is, out of the final four teams, man, three of them are high-flying offenses, and yes, that game was beautiful last night with the Bills and the Chiefs, but would you mind being the Niners, man, winning but winning ugly? They've beaten two, juggernauts, and the Cowboys and the Packers, number one seed, and I think the Bears could be close to being like the Niners, tough defense, gritty run game, I think Fields is better than Garoppolo, so we could be the Niners in a couple of years, man. What do you think? Would you take
Gary? Gary, how long have you been a Bears fan? Because if you go back to the last time the Bears won a playoff game in 2010, and then before that with the Lovie Smith years and Rex Grossman, yeah, Grossman could make some throws, but that was a defense-run-first team. That was a, quote, get-off-the-bus-running team. That was Thomas Jones, Cedric Benson, and then, of course, you have the defense with Urlacher and Peanut and Mike Brown and all those guys. So the Bears used to have that identity. Now, the problem is, Gary, that style can only take you so far. Like, look at what the Titans have done in the past. The Titans, you know, they won a couple of playoff games just by Derrick Henry running it down people's throats. They didn't get to the big game, right? They didn't get to the Super Bowl. Where the guys that have the offense, the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, those guys get to the Super Bowl. Yeah, every once in a while a team can come in and muddy up a game and get to a Super Bowl. But most of the time, you need to win that shootout, don't you? And so, to me, you need that guy. I think they have that guy in Justin Fields. So maybe they can be that spot. 312-332-3776. Harding's in Charlotte. What's up, Harding?
Hey, Abdallah. So first and foremost, let me say I'm offended that if you knew Bleck was going to take vacation, you could have called me to co-host. So I am offended.
I mean, I put you on, didn't I? You're right here. What do you want to say?
Yeah. I suppose so. So, look, overtime rules are perfectly fine, because if you're going to complain about Josh Allen not getting the ball, complain about the Bills not winning the game in regulation. I don't want to hear anything about, oh, they should go back and forth. Like, the whole point of overtime is to finalize the game. It's dangerous for them to be out there in the first place. Like, your defense is just as important as your offense. Have a better defense. Get a stop. Hit the field goal or pick six, whatever the case is. OT rules are fine. I have a question for you, though. So I'm watching this, and I see Aaron Rodgers potentially may want to leave the Packers, right? Mm-hmm. Does that increase the likelihood that a coach picks the Bears? Does that make them a more desirable destination? Because when we think about it, like, it's more likely that a good coach picks the Bears versus the Bears getting a good coach. Like, they're going to have to stumble upon that. So what do you think about that?
I don't think that Rodgers leaves leaving makes them a more desirable spot. I think that the fact that they have Justin Fields and, you know, teams look at the flashes that you saw from last year, and then they also look at what he did at Ohio State, and they say, that's someone that I can learn from, and that's or someone that I that can learn from me, and someone that can grow and that I can develop. You know, I think like a Brian Daboll might consider, you know, Chicago over New York, where he's having his second interview. It hasn't been announced that he's going to have a second interview with the Bears, but Brian Daboll could look at someone like Justin Fields and say, hey, look what I did with Josh Allen. Like, I can make Justin Fields into that. I don't know if I can do that with the Giants and Daniel Jones, right? Like, they might have to move on and draft someone, and this year is not the year to be drafting a quarterback. The quarterbacks this year compared to last year when Justin Fields was drafted and you know, Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and all that, it was awful. Or it's compared to this year. So to me, I don't think that it's Rodgers leaving. I think that it's the fact that the Bears have Justin Fields that makes it more desirable.
I love that answer. So let me ask you this, and I'll let you go. We hear often about the offensive coordinator that can transition into a head coach position. So you look at Daboll, you look at just a variety of people, you know, Kellen Moore, et cetera. What if we go Brian Flores? Is there any quarterback coaches? Is there any, like, running back coaches? Are anybody ready to make a transition into offensive coordinator to go with Brian Flores if we go with him as a head coach?
That's a good question. So Ken Dorsey is the name that is popping up if Daboll should leave. So if Daboll gets a job in New York or Chicago or wherever, the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator for the Bills, Ken Dorsey, is the name to either take over as OC for the Bills, or maybe someone brings him along to come, you know, whether it's here or whether it's in Denver or someone like that. That's the name that I've heard the most pop up, because, you know, people usually, when they have this, they usually just promote the quarterback's coach, and that, and then you just kind of move up that way, where you just kind of promote from within, unless, you know, Dable's getting a head coaching job and wants to take Ken Dorsey with him to be his offensive coordinator and play caller wherever he decides. So that's kind of where that ends up. 312-332-3776. How far away are the Bears from competing in the divisional round? I mean, I'm not saying they got to win a game in the divisional round. I'm just saying they win a playoff game. How far away, after what you watched this weekend and the four teams that we have left competing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, how far are the away are the Bears from being one of those teams that we saw this past weekend? 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The Chicago Bears today announced that they completed interviews with Director of College Scouting Morocco Brown from the Indianapolis Colts, and Omar Khan, who is the Vice President of Football and Business Administration for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it seems like that would be the end of the GM interviews. We know that Ryan Poles is going to get a second interview. He's the executive director of player personnel for the Kansas City Chiefs. And also, we know that, according to Ian Rappaport, that Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell are going to also get a second interview, as well as, reported earlier, Matt Eberflus. So there are three head coaching candidates that are now going to get a second interview. That is Matt Eberflus of the Indianapolis Colts, Dan Quinn, and Jim Caldwell. So it seems like, without having a GM, those are the three finalists. There has not been an announcement for a second interview with Leslie Frazier, a second announcement for Todd Bowles, a second announcement for any of these guys. Byron Leftwich, Nathaniel Hackett, Brian Daboll, Doug Peterson, Brian Flores. None of these guys. None of these guys. So if they hire one of those three guys, and let's say it does work out, we're living in an alternate reality now. Living in an alternate reality where the Bears get it right. Imagine, they haven't gotten it right since Lovey. Lovey was hired. He won 10 games and was let go. And then you have Trestman. You have John Fox. You have Matt Nagy. So they haven't been able to get it right since. So let's say they get it right. How many years away, or how long are they away from competing in what we saw this weekend in the divisional round? That means winning a playoff game. Basically, the question is at 312-332-3776, how far away are the Bears from winning a playoff game? Patrick's in Crown Point. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Big fan.
Thank you.
Listen, man, I'm glad you brought up the coaching decision. With them bringing Jim Caldwell into the mix, the guy's 67 years old. I mean, what's his 10-year plan with the Bears if he gets the job? If he doesn't even have a 10-year plan, if they give him another contract extension after 4 years, I mean, what are you going to do, hand another 4-year contract extension for someone who's 71, 72 years old? You're going to just feed him money until he's 76? I mean, in my opinion, if Caldwell gets the job, he'll be here for 4 years, and then, you know, I mean, age will play a factor into his decision-making. I'm sorry, but probably will. I mean, to have a 72-year-old as the face of your franchise making all the tough calls on the field, I don't agree with Caldwell at all. So, in my opinion, I don't think they can sniff the playoffs if he's the coach. I mean, plus, you got an aging defense, so many holes on offense. I think after that game last night, I think you see teams that are high-caliber playoff teams. And I don't think the Bears are even close to sniffing that.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate the call. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
I think that, you know, look, I don't think the White Sox were looking at, when they hired Tony La Russa, at their 10-year plan. I think that if you're the Bears and you're looking at your 10-year plan, like, how rare is it that coaches last 10 years in the NFL? You know, so is Caldwell going to be a good hire? I don't know. Is he going to be a bad hire? I also don't know. It just doesn't really move the meter for me. You know, like the Leslie Frazier, it doesn't. Yes, the Bills have a very good defense. They have a top five defense in the NFL. I think they're fourth in defensive DVOA, weighted defensive DVOA right now. They have the number one team, even though they're eliminated. They have the number one team in overall DVOA and number four in defense. So did he do a good job building the defense? Yes. But it just doesn't excite me as a fan of the Bears who wants this team to move into the next generation of offense and not be constantly in the high 20s when it comes to offensive rankings. I want an offensive head coach. It can be someone who has previous experience. It cannot be. It can be Brian Daboll. Like, I would love Brian Daboll to have a second interview and be named the head coach. Just because he hasn't been a head coach before doesn't mean that he's not going to be good at it. I think that is what you look for. I would just want them to take that next step, and I don't think Caldwell is going to be able to. Look, he can set the tone and create a culture and maybe hire a really good offensive coordinator, and then that improves everything. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't really do anything for me as a Bears fan that wants to be excited by a hire. 312-332-3776. That's what Clark did. He's in Sugar Grove. What's up, Clark?
Hello, hello. So, yeah, I've got my own wish list, but in this alternate reality, I did want to answer your question. I do think in a, I don't know about a perfect world, but a reasonable perfect world, 2 years. I mean, the cupboard's not bare. We have some sustainable pieces. We have some veterans that sure are aging out, but we also have some prospects like, you know, Max and Quinn are on their way out, but we have Gibson coming up, so... Yeah, I think that in your hypothetical scenario, that 2 years and with the right hires, and we're good to go. Even if they're not my hires.
Yeah. So in a couple years, you see it happening. Clark, who's on your wish list then?
Definitely Omar Khan, because the Steelers have consistency, sustainability, and development with their players that they have free agents in draft, so that's what the Bears need. He also has that business sense that we definitely don't have. And then the head coach, I'm kind of with you. I think you mentioned this, that Flores is an interesting person. I think the no-nonsense would bode well with the Chicago Bears. Although what Daboll did last night, pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the call, Clark. Have a good night.
You too.
Yeah, I think that Flores, you know, there's all the reports of his, you know, not getting along with people in Miami and how that played out and what he said to Tua about how he wishes they would have taken Mac Jones and when that came out. So, yeah, I think he does rub a few people the wrong way, but, you know, you can always learn from your mistakes. Like, I feel like the same way about Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels has been named for a few head coaching spots, and you think that on the second time around that he would be better at it, and you learn from your mistakes. Like, that's, you know, you can learn from your mistakes. That's why people get second chances all the time. Terry's in Aurora. What's up, Terry?
What's up, man? First time caller. I'm liking your show so far.
I appreciate it, Terry. Thank you. Make sure this isn't your last time.
I won't be, for sure. My thinking is, if Aaron Rodgers leaves the division, and it's looking pretty good that he's going to leave, Justin Fields could be the best quarterback in the NFC North.
For
and
sure.
If Omar Khan is hired as the GM, and they get some good free agents to surround themselves around Fields, who I'm excited for, I think the Bears could turn around in 2 years and be in the divisional round.
Okay, and they do that with which coach?
Flores.
Okay.
Caldwell does not do it for me, because I just feel like if you're going to get a coach, I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. I look at, they've had three coaches in 60 years.
Yeah.
Am I right about that? I look at that. You want a coach who's going to be here. I don't want another four-year and out, guys.
All right, Terry. Appreciate the call. Make sure you call again.
Of course. Absolutely.
I can honestly, I'll give you guys my answer, and you can call up 312-332-3776 or tweet at Adam A. Abdallah. You can also watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I think they can turn this around in 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3 years. The problem with this year is you have some cap space, not a lot of cap space. You have very minimal draft picks, including not having a first round pick. So unless you trade back into the first round or move some guys and completely remove everybody, which then means you're rebuilding and not actually, you know, refilling the cupboard. You're actually making it more bare and then trying to refill it with draft picks. So I'm thinking in 3 years, in the third year, that's when they will win a playoff game. I think whoever comes in is going to try to develop Justin Fields, but they're going to have to, the GM that comes in is going to have to add a lot to this team, and that might not be a quick turnaround, right? It's like, you know, a previous caller said, it's not completely bare. There are some really good pieces on this team. Darnell Mooney's a really good piece. You know, he's not a number one wide receiver. You've got some great pieces on offense, including, you know, Roquan Smith is right up there at the top as one of the best young defensive players in the league. So to me, It's a 2 to 3 year turnaround. I think in the third year, 2 years they'll make it. The third year is when they'll get over that hump and win a playoff game. Jake's on the South Side. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call. In answer to your question, I'm going to go 5 years because I don't believe Justin Fields is the franchise quarterback. So we're going to be looking for another one in 3 years, and you got to give him at least 2 years. So that's 5 years.
So you mean the next coaching staff isn't here either? So we're hiring a whole new coaching staff in 5 years, and
correct,
having to get another quarterback.
Correct.
Is that Arch Manning that's going to be the Bears quarterback by then? Are we getting Arch?
That would be nice. That would be nice.
We're getting Arch Manning. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate the call. So yeah, I mean, I'd take Arch Manning, but you know, it's gonna be a while. It's gonna be a few minutes here for Arch Manning. Dave's in Bolingbrook. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I don't like none of this, the way they're handling this, hiring a coach before the GM. I don't like any of it. It's setting us back probably, like the last caller said, I'd say at least 5 years. This is what we went through in the Fox regime.
Okay, so where do you think they should go?
I think they ought to hire a GM. First, I think they ought to hire a president of NFL personnel, then a GM, and then a coach. Because we were told that Fox and I can't think of his name right now, they didn't get along, so we had to get rid of Fox. And that's when we brought in Nagy. I don't see how it's going to work.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I said last week that I don't think that they'll find a way to mess this up. Like, hiring Jim Caldwell, and the reports are, if you're reading Albert Breer, you're reading Ian Rappaport, is that Bill Polian loves Jim Caldwell and is really pushing for them to hire Jim Caldwell. So we'll see if that happens. It's just kind of a meh hiring for me if that's the case, but it remains to be seen. Hopefully we get some news this week. Coming up next, we will talk to Matt Williamson. We'll recap divisional weekend and preview the championship games. That's coming up next on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Want to hang out with the ESPN Chicago Street Team? You can do so on Wednesday for your chance to win some Coors Light prizes and a pair of tickets to see Grand Funk Railroad. That's Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. for a hockey watch party. The ESPN Chicago Street Team will be at Offsides in Woodstock as Chicago faces off against Detroit. Make sure you head on there. You can register to win those tickets and win some Coors Light prizing. What a weekend of football. What a great weekend of football. And we're here to break it all down with Matt Williamson. Follow him on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL of the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Matt, how are you doing?
I am great. That was a fun weekend. You're 100% right. I mean, just a blast to watch every one of those games and then capped off by Chiefs-Bills, which was unforgettable.
When we look back on this weekend, are we going to look at that Chiefs-Bills game on the game that changed the overtime rules?
Yeah, I think so. And I've talked about this so much over the years, but I really, and I have never heard a great answer that I love for what's the answer for overtime. But I think you have to change it for the postseason. And the one suggestion I would have is play a full quarter. You know, I mean, have a 15-minute, just a normal quarter, or even a 10-minute quarter. And that at least would probably make it a little more normal. I mean, the way we saw that go down, I mean, my heart goes out to Bills fans.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at Josh Allen and the way those two, the way that game was going and the way it ended, it's almost criminal that they didn't get the ball. And I know that,
yeah.
I know that people say, oh, well, you got to stop them. Well, I don't know if the Chiefs would have been able to stop the Bills either. If the coin had flipped the other way, I don't know if the Chiefs would have been able to stop the Bills.
Oh, 100%. I was sitting there watching the game with my 15-year-old son, who knows a thing or two about the game, and I told him, I'm like, whoever wins this coin toss, no matter what, if it's 4th and 20, they're not going to punt or even, you know, try a field goal. There will be no more kicks in this game because they just realize that both defenses are so dead and these quarterbacks are unstoppable forces. They're like superheroes out there.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that by no, whoever wins a coin toss is never going to give the ball back to the opponent because they know they'll lose.
Bears fans here are hoping that they request a second interview with Brian Daboll. What do you think Brian Daboll will make as a head coach, and how much of his system can he bring to a team, and how much of it is Josh Allen being that great and just developing?
I have two thoughts on that. First off, I think he'd be a very good hire, first of all. I mean, I never know how to answer assistant to head coach questions because I've been fortunate enough to be inside buildings and working for teams. And I know that the people on the outside truly don't know the value of different assistant coaches and coordinators. I mean, almost everything they do is inside the walls. But I think his body of work really speaks well for itself, and it's a super strong organization. We're seeing people pillage Bills management and coaches and things like that because they want a piece of that. There's all great organizations. But one thing I do know about Allen, and this doesn't take anything away from Daboll, is when he came into the league, he was wildly inaccurate, and Justin Fields doesn't have that problem at all.
Mm.
And what he did really wasn't Daboll fixing the accuracy. It was Allen doing all these off-season projects and work on his own with biomechanics people and things like that. Like when I was scouting 18 years ago, everyone just thought when you came in the league, you're never going to get more accurate. Well, I think science and biomechanics and things like that that I mentioned have really helped the Josh Allens and Dak Prescotts more than coaching has. They understand their balance or overstriding, things like that.
When we look at the Rams and the Bucks game, have the Rams and Matt Stafford done enough to justify the trade from earlier this year?
I think so. I mean, they're much harder to play against with Stafford versus Goff, who I think got a little bit of a bad rap, but he certainly doesn't throw the football or as aggressive or as tough or as leader as Stafford is. And now that you're a Final Four team, I think that does justify it. And really, to take it a step forward, I think it justifies trading for Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, picking up Odell Beckham. I mean, where would they be without those guys? But they also have no draft picks.
Yeah, and when you look at this matchup in the NFC Championship game against the 49ers, what do they have to do to get over, I mean, the one-year hump, I guess, of not being able to beat the 49ers this year?
I think it's more than 1 year. I think it's six games in a row. Don't quote me on that. I think I just heard that for the first time. And I do think that there's such familiarity between these two coaches, going back to, you know, Daddy Shanahan's staff. And I think that Shanahan just knows McVay a little bit better than the other way around. I also think the Niners are the physically tougher team, you know, that they're stronger in the trenches. They're more aggressive. They're just a little bit more of a physical edge to them. And I do think the Rams have improved in that area, though. Like, late in the season, they started leaning on Sony Michel and now Cam Akers a little bit more, bringing a sixth offensive lineman on the field a higher percentage of the time, fewer 11 personnel groupings, you know, more tight ends on the field. So I think they're understanding what they need to do to succeed in this situation. We'll see what happens.
When you look at what Aaron Rodgers did in that game, you know, 20 of 29, 225 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, I don't think he's going to be done playing football in general, because I don't think he wants to go out like that, especially after this year and all the controversy surrounding him. I think he's very not egocentric, but ego-driven, and doesn't want this to be the lasting memory of Aaron Rodgers. But do you think he goes back to the Packers? And if not, where do you think is his best fit?
Yeah, that's a great conversation, and it's one we'll be having, you know, all off season, like when Brady left New England. I mean, it's going to be the topic of the off season. I think he's going to, you mentioned his ego. I'll just kind of leave it at that. But I think he I think he likes the attention. I think he likes to get people talking about him as we are now. I think he realizes the power he has. And I was talking to my dad, who's, you know, in his 70s, and told him, Dad, he's a lot like you at this stage of your life. You know, he just doesn't care what people think, and he's done everything he's going to do, and has an amazing resume. And, you know, that I think when he's the smart move is go back to Green Bay and try again. I mean, Denver sounds wonderful, but you got to compete with Mahomes and Herbert, and you don't have an owner. You know, I mean, I just think if you go back to Green Bay, but they have a lot of cap problems right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like $40 million under the cap, and you got to keep Davante Adams, even if it's on a franchise tag. They would have to move on from Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, a lot of the pieces in place. That's a tough one, because I do think he would love to go somewhere else, as Brady did, and just show the world that it's him. And he's a phenomenal player. But I don't know who the best fit is, or what's a better fit than Green Bay is really the question.
Matt Williamson joining us on the Corona Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Because our philosophy here in Chicago is, I don't think any Bears fan thinks the Bears are going to get this hire right. You know, they're hiring coaches before GMs, it looks like. They've got second interviews scheduled with Jim Caldwell and Dan Quinn and Matt Eberflus. Not that they're not going to be good hires, but it just doesn't do anything for the fan base as far as create any excitement. And if you can say that Aaron Rodgers is basically guaranteed a spot in the playoffs every single year, why would you leave that situation?
Right. And, you know, no offense to Bears fans, but you look at that division, the Lions aren't close to competing. I mean, I think the Vikings are about to totally rebuild. I mean, I actually think the Bears are in the second-best situation, assuming Rodgers stays, and they're still distantly behind the Packers, despite what we saw over the weekend. It just seems like an easy road to getting back to the playoffs, if there is such a thing in the NFL.
I know it's only been one full season because of the shortened season with the torn ACL last year for Joe Burrow, but is it safe to say that he's in that upper echelon of quarterbacks after this season?
Yeah, I love the way he plays the game. His cockiness, confidence, toughness, I mean, all of a sudden, Zach Taylor's a great coach. You know, before, you know, funny how that happens. I mean, that was a losing organization, and he has changed the total outlook, you know, the total persona of the team. I'm sure he's on every billboard in Cincinnati and should be. I mean, when you're looking at who do I want to build my team around right now, and you think about age, I mean, it's him, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, maybe Lamar. You know, I mean, it's a very short list, and I think he's got MVPs and Super Bowls in his future.
Is it going to be a question of can they stop Kansas City or can they keep up with Kansas City?
Well, they need to protect. I mean, anyone that watched that Titan game realized that the Bengals offensive line is a massive liability. I mean, they have a lot of cap space. I would imagine that they go sign three offensive linemen. I mean, that's what I would do if I was running the team. And I don't know that the Chiefs' pass rush is as nasty as Tennessee's, but it's pretty good, and they're going to have a hard – that's a big, big key to me. And as we saw with the Chiefs, I mean, they just figure teams out by about the third quarter, no matter what you do on defense, and start to take advantage of it. So it's really going to be an uphill climb for the Bengals. But this is a super successful season for Cincinnati.
I know I mentioned a couple of the Bears coaching candidates. What do you make of Dan Quinn and Jim Caldwell if they're one of the one of the two guys that are selected?
I mean, I think, like you said, they're kind of not sexy. You know, I mean, they're not going to super move the needle, but I think they're both accomplished. I think they're both one of the 32 best head coaches on the planet, and that's a big compliment, to be very honest. There's an art to winning football games at this level. Not everyone's capable of doing it. I think both those guys are. Maybe Caldwell even more so. I thought he really got the short end of the stick the last time he was a head coach. And more than that, though, yeah, those head coaching hires would be fine. I have no problem with either, but I might be more excited to see who the offensive coordinator is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then I know it's only Monday, but who do you think we're watching in the Super Bowl?
I absolutely think Kansas. I think we watched the Super Bowl last night, to be very honest with you.
Could they just replay that on the day of the Super Bowl and we'll just pretend like we didn't watch it again?
Exactly. I think Kansas City will beat the Rams, but I know the Rams have a tough obstacle here with a familiar opponent in San Francisco. But I don't think Kansas City is going to have a real rough road at this point.
Thanks for your time, Matt. Appreciate it.
It was fun. Take care.
It's Matt Williamson. You can follow him on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Make sure you check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast. Great breakdown from Matt Williamson, as always. We'll have Song of the Night next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Pumping up the jams? Is that what we're doing here? I'm sorry, it just caught me off guard. I don't want a place to stay. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. You can see me overreact to almost getting a good question. It was a great conversation. Not a great question. I was so close, Eric. I was so close.
But it was a question you posed, not a comment. Oh, man, I thought I know.
That's all right. For those who don't know, Chris Black has the week off. So I'll get some more opportunities here. But Eric and Jake producing the show tonight. You know what it's time for? It's time for Song of the Night.
I want to rock!
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Black and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
Yo, live.
And Song of the Night is brought to you by our new partners, Planet Fitness. What's up, Planet Fitness? Join Planet Fitness now through February 2nd for $0 enrollment and just $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Thank you to Planet Fitness. Chris is out this week, so it's going to get weird.
Let's go.
So first off, here's your Song of the Night. LCD Sound System. From their self-titled debut, LCD Sound System, in 2005, here's Daft Punk is playing at my house. Daft Punk is playing.
show you the ropes. Got a bus and a trailer at my house, my house. I'll show you the ropes, kids, show you the ropes.
This is also one of the shorter LCD Sound System songs, because LCD Sound System songs are like 8 to 10 minutes long, because they're technically, they're not rock, they're like dance or whatever. Like, this song was nominated for like best dance track or something. But the radio edit version of this song is only 3 minutes and 20 seconds. This was nominated for a Grammy, like I mentioned, for best dance recording in 2006. It was in Project X, because it's about a house party. It's about, this reminds me and takes me back to having like a college house party or an apartment party, because I lived in the city, and like, you knew someone's stuff was going to get messed up. Like, there's a tarp over a ping pong table or a pool table that they don't want messed up, and you're playing beer pong, and like, you just know, like, someone's floor is getting scratched or a couch is going to break. So, like, there's going to be spills. There are going to be a ton of spills. But you know what? It's a crappy apartment in the city or a crappy house or whatever, and no one cares.
That's the point.
And guess what the best part is? It's not your house.
Right.
It's not your house.
You're just paying rent.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're paying
the
rent. You're not getting
a thing.
You are not getting that security deposit back.
I never ever accounted for that. I just assumed that was gone the second
not
I paid.
Not getting
it.
That security deposit
the one
back.
One thing when we would throw parties in college that we noticed would always get taken and we started hiding was like our DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah.
Just pilfered from our bedroom.
Oh, yeah. You
so
got to hide all your good stuff.
Stuff like that.
You got to hide. There's always that one room where you walk into and everybody kind of stops what they're doing and looks at you. And you're like, oh, we're smoking in here. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's this room. Uh-huh.
Fun fact, not only are we radio partners, but Bleck and I are very good at beer pong together. Very good
When's
at beer pong together.
When's the last time you've laced them up?
It's my buddy, Bro Connor's bachelor party.
Ah, there you go. Not too long ago then.
Pre-pandemic. So yeah, Bro Connor's bachelor party.
It's so long for me.
Yeah.
OT rules, better in the NFL or in beer pong?
Oh, a beer pong.
Right.
Yeah, come on.
Get three laps,
absolutely.
Let's go.
Absolutely. 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 LCD Sound System, Daft Punk is playing at my house.
The volume and don't touch that dial, because it's time for
what dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an never mind.
Crank the volume, because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's song of the night.
Yo, later.
And it's brought to you by Planet Fitness. Join Planet Fitness now through February 2nd for $0 enrollment and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. We'll be right back in 2 short minutes.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah,
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.